Imagine taking a stack of those, really dense financial reports, full of numbers and jargon, and turning it into something clear. A story about how your community's money is actually working for you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to try and do today.
We're doing a deep dive into this detailed June 2025 financial update for your city. We're right at the halfway point of the budget year.
Mm-hmm. And this document, it lays out pretty much everything. Daily costs, long-term investments, the works.
So our mission really is to pull out the important stuff, the key insights.
Right. We want to help you understand where the city's money comes from, how it's being spent.
And what it all means for the city's financial health, its future.
Think of it as your shortcut, basically, to getting up to speed on the city's purse strings.
And just to kick things off, have you ever wondered what it actually costs per day to provide all the services you rely on?
It's a fascinating question when you think about it.
We are going to reveal that number, which might surprise you, in just a bit. But first, let's look at the city's everyday wallet.
Yeah, let's start with the general fund. That's basically the city's main operational budget.
The day-to-day account for essential services, right?
Exactly. And looking at how it's doing halfway through the year, things are actually looking remarkably steady.
That stability is key, isn't it? Revenues are currently at $2.98 million.
Uh-huh. Right on target with what they projected.
And spending, the expenditures, they're at $3.49 million. That's about 47% of the budget.
Which is also right in line with expectations for this point in the year.
So being on target like this, it's not just hitting numbers. It really shows stable financial management.
Absolutely. It means the city can consistently deliver services without, unexpected bumps in the road.
So what's driving those revenues? Where's the money coming from?
Well, the main engines keeping that general fund healthy are, first, the July property tax receipts. The first half came in exactly as expected.
Okay, good.
Then there's the liquor store transfer. That's already done. And just a steady stream of development activity in the city.
Okay, let's dig into those revenue streams a bit more, because this is where you really see the city's economic pulse, right?
Definitely. Mm. Take the administration and finance department. It doesn't just manage money. It actually brings in a lot.
How much are we talking?
Almost $2.5 million so far this year.
Wow, okay. And that's up from last year.
It is, yeah. And it's from a mix of things that liquor store transfer we mentioned, various licenses like liquor, tobacco, even peddlers, plus franchise fees, leases, other local taxes. It's quite a broad base.
And connecting that to development, the building department's revenue, that's a direct sign of construction activity.
Absolutely. It's over $213,000 right now, and it really reflects what's happening on the ground. We've seen a surge in new single-family home permits.
A surge?
Yeah, 17 permits processed through early July. The budget for the whole year was only 15 homes.
So they've already exceeded the annual budget halfway through the year.
They have. It points to strong community growth, which is good, but it also, raises questions about future infrastructure needs.
Right, keeping up with that growth.
And on top of the homes, there was one new commercial building feed. Covenant Christian Academy and multifamily rental inspections also brought in more revenue than budgeted.
That's definitely a trend to keep an eye on. And beyond those big ones, other departments chip in too.
Oh, yeah. Planning, police, parks, fleet, they all contribute steadily through various fees and services. Year over year, they're pretty consistent.
You mentioned streets revenue was up.
It is, yeah, up from 2024. Part of that is state aid maintenance fee being higher, but they also got an unexpected bump in a compost grant.
Oh.
Yeah, they budgeted $40,000, but got $55,000 because the grant amount increased, and they didn't know that when the budget was set. So a nice little bonus there.
Always good to get those. Okay, so that's the money coming in. Now, where is it going? Where's the wallet being opened?
Right, the expenditure side. No surprise, personnel is the biggest category.
Makes sense. People cost money.
And it's right at 42% of the budget, perfectly aligned with projections. So good management there.
Now, one number that jumps out is professional services. It's running high at 74% of budget. Should we be worried?
Necessarily, no. This is almost always about the timing of contracts.
Uh-huh, right.
Often you pay for these services up front or in big chunks early in the year. So the percentage looks high now, but it balances out over the full 12 months. It's just how the payments are scheduled.
Gotcha. So it's not overspending, just timing.
Exactly. Same thing with elections, actually. It's at 90%, even though it's not an election year.
Why is that?
That's for budgeted transfers and training costs, basically getting ready for future election cycles.
Makes sense. You have to prepare. And the other operational costs.
Operational expenses are tracking right around 48% of budget. Marketing's at 40%, both pretty much as expected.
So pulling this all together, What does this mean for, you know, the average resident? How does this translate?
That's the key question, right? If you break down all these big numbers, the daily cost to provide all city services, police, fire, roads, parks, everything, it comes out to $2.26 per day if you calculate it based on water hookups, which represent households and businesses.
$2.26 a day.
Or if you look at it even more broadly, just dividing by the total population, it's only about 75 cents per person per day.
Wow, 75 cents a day. That's remarkably low when you think about everything the city does.
It really is striking, isn't it? Less than your morning coffee, like you said earlier, for public safety, road maintenance, parks, the whole package.
Absolutely puts things in perspective. Okay, so that's the day-to-day. What about the city's safety net, the unassigned fund balance?
Right. This is basically the city's savings account, the rainy day fund.
And how's that looking?
It's looking very healthy. The balance stands at $4.2 million.
$4.2 million. And how does that stack up against the budget?
Well, that represents 57% of the 2025 budget, which is actually well above the city's own policy target.
What's the target?
Their policy aims for 42% to 50%. So 57% is comfortably above that.
That sounds very prudent.
It is. And it's projected to stay strong, around 54%, even using the 2026 concept budget numbers. Basically, that balance could cover about 6 months of the city's expenses.
6 months? That's a really strong cushion.
It's a very strong position to be in. Gives the city flexibility for unexpected things or opportunities.
Okay, so the daily operations are stable, the savings account is healthy. Let's shift to the future. Investing in the long term, capital improvement funds, or CIP?
Exactly. These funds are specifically for the big stuff, large-scale, long-term projects, improving infrastructure, facilities, things that shape the community for years.
And the key source for this is local government aid, LGA.
Yes. The city received a payment of just over $70,000 back in March. That's part of the total amount certified for 2025, which is over $752,000.
Now, I remember seeing that this 2025 amount is actually down from 2024.
It is, yeah, down by almost $125,000. But it's important context here.
Okay.
2024 was an unusually high year for LGA. The 2025 amount is actually more of a return to what the city normally received before that bump last year.
Ah, I see. So lower than last year's peak, but back to a more typical level.
Precisely. And what's also really important with these CIP funds is understanding the unallocated balances, money that's available for new projects or things that pop up.
Right. Flexibility again.
Exactly. These CIP funds are broken down by purpose, you know, infrastructure, streets, equipment.
So what kind of unallocated money are we talking about?
Well, for example, in the main capital infrastructure fund, there's about $330,000 available for future projects.
Okay.
In the capital street maintenance fund, there's almost $700,000 available, specifically earmarked for future street work, seal coating, that kind of thing.
That's quite a bit for streets.
It is. And then for capital equipment and building replacement, there's over $440,000 available.
Hmm.
That's crucial for future needs like replacing vehicles or updating buildings.
So the city is actively setting aside money for these future big ticket items.
Yes, it's strategic planning. There are also smaller available balances for parks and trails, computer systems, and even a dedicated fund just for lake maintenance.
Ensures all areas are covered. That unallocated money really seems key for long-term planning, doesn't it? Being able to adapt.
It's absolutely vital. You can't predict everything, so having those reserves gives the city the ability to respond to changing needs or seize opportunities.
Okay, let's shift gears again. Special revenue funds. These are for specific purposes, right?
That's right. Dedicated pots of money. First up is the Economic Development Authority, the EDA Fund.
How's that one doing?
It has a cash balance right now of just over $191,000. However.
However.
Well, there are amounts already designated within that fund for a revolving loan fund and for land purchase or redevelopment projects.
Okay.
And those designated amounts add up to more than the current cash balance. So there's a temporary shortfall of about $126,000 on paper.
Temporary?
Yes, temporary. It's purely a timing issue. Once the next round of property taxes comes in, likely July and December, that shortfall will be completely covered. It's not a funding gap, just cash flow timing.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the Veterans Fund?
That one has a balance just under $3,000. Most of that is specifically for the Veterans Memorial.
Right.
There's a landscaping project for the memorial that's currently short just a tiny bit, $397.
Still close.
Yeah. It's a small gap. If additional donations don't come in to cover it, it'll likely be paid from the general fund.
Got it. And what about Music in the Park? That's a popular one.
Very popular. That fund has a healthy cash balance of almost $19,000 right now.
Is it fully funded for this year?
It is for 2025, yes. That's covered by a mix of donations and a $10,000 transfer from the general fund.
But looking ahead?
Looking ahead for future years, the city will need to actively look for grants and seek more donations to keep that program going strong. It's not self-sustaining without that extra support.
Good to know. Okay, let's talk green spaces, the park dedication fund.
Right. This fund is specifically for creating or improving parks and trails, and it's got a very healthy cash balance, almost $887,000.
Nearly $1 million just for parks. Where's that revenue come from?
Mostly two places. Park dedication fees, which developers pay. That brought in about $7,000 so far. But also significant interest earnings on the balance over $12,500.
Smart to have the money making money.
Definitely. And what's really notable here, there have been zero expenditures from this fund so far this year.
No spending at all. Why is that? Are they saving up?
That's exactly the implication. It suggests the city is accumulating these funds, likely for a larger, more significant future park project or land acquisition, rather than spending it on smaller, immediate improvements.
A long-term strategy for green space. Makes sense.
It allows for more impactful projects down the road.
All right, let's dive into the enterprise funds now. These are the utilities and other operations that are meant to pay for themselves, right?
Correct. They generate their own revenue to cover their costs, like the water fund.
How's the water fund looking?
It has a cash balance of just over $1.1 million. That covers about 35% of its 2025 budget. Now, on paper, it shows a net loss of over $600,000.
Oof, a loss.
But wait, that number includes transfers out to its own capital improvement fund and also a big non-cash item called depreciation.
Okay, depreciation. Can you break that down simply for us? Why does it make the loss look bigger than maybe the cash reality?
Great question. Think of depreciation as an accounting method to account for the wear and tear on assets over time. Pipes, pumps, treatment plants. It gets older, it loses value on paper.
But no actual cash leaves the bank for depreciation itself.
Exactly. It's a non-cash expense. So if you strip out that depreciation effect and just look at the cash operations, the actual operational loss is much smaller, around $152,000.
Still an operational loss, though. And revenues are a bit behind budget pace at 46%.
They are. Revenues are just over $1 million. And here's an interesting point. Actual water sales are up 12% from last year.
Okay, so people are using more water.
But overall revenues are only up 4% compared to 2024.
Why the gap? If sales are up, why aren't revenues up more?
It's mainly due to a change in how the city handles water access charges, or WAC fees.
The fees for connecting to the system.
Yeah.
Right. Those fees, about $106,000 collected so far this year, used to go into this main operating fund. Now they go directly into a separate water CIP fund.
Ah, so that money is being specifically set aside for future water infrastructure projects and expansions?
Precisely. It's a strategic shift to build up capital reserves for the future, even though it makes the operating fund's revenue look a bit lower in the short term.
And wasn't there also a rate change?
Yes, good point. There was a 5% rate decrease for water in 2025, so that also plays into the revenue figure.
Okay, so a strategic shift for WAC fees and a rate decrease explain the revenue picture. Makes sense. Now, in contrast, the sewer fund sounds like it's doing really well.
Oh, absolutely. The sewer fund is in a very strong position. Cash balance over $3.5 million.
Wow.
That covers 100% of its 2025 budget. It's showing a positive net income of over $300,000.
And if you exclude depreciation, like with water,
then the net income is even more substantial, almost $1.1 million.
Very strong. Revenues are tracking well, too.
Yep. Revenues are at 54% of budget, over $1.8 million. Total revenues are up.
Why are sewer revenues up?
Two main reasons. There was an 8% rate increase for sewer in 2025, and also higher sales volume.
And similar to water, those sewer access charges, SAC fees, they also go to a separate capital fund.
Correct. Over $157,000 in SAC fees collected so far go directly to the sewer CIP fund for future system expansions. Again, ensuring dedicated capital for future needs.
Okay, moving on. Storm sewer fund.
That one's quite stable. Cash balance of nearly $490,000, covering 100% of its budget.
Is it making or losing money?
It shows a very small net loss on paper, about $35,000, But again, factor out depreciation, and it actually shows a net profit of over $40,000. So operations are stable.
Good. And finally, the liquor store fund.
Right. Ending cash balance is over $1.7 million. That covers about 29% of its 2025 budget.
Now, the report shows a net loss here, too, around $380,000, but I suspect there's more to it.
There definitely is. That reported loss figure includes some very significant transfers out of the fund.
Like what?
Like a $450,000 transfer to the general fund, helping support other city operations, and another $35,000 transfer to the liquor store's own CIP fund for future store improvements or needs.
Ah, so it's not an operating loss. It's sending money elsewhere in the city budget.
Exactly. If you take out those transfers and factor in inventory adjustments, the store actually shows an adjusted operating profit of about $183,000.
That's a much better picture. What's that as a percentage?
It works out to about 7% of sales, which is a healthy operating margin.
How are sales doing?
Sales are down just slightly, about 3% compared to the same period in 2024.
Okay. And personnel costs? Often a big factor in retail.
Personnel expense is running at 13% of total sales. That falls right in the typical retail average range, which is usually somewhere between 12% and 15%. So efficiently managed.
And didn't the store have a strong track record historically?
It really does. Back in 2023, the city's liquor store ranked highly across the state. It was 26th for gross profit margin, 25th for net profit margin.
Pretty good rankings.
And even third in its region for net profit. So it consistently performs well and, importantly, generates revenue that helps offset the need for property taxes in the general fund.
A self-sustaining revenue generator that contributes back.
Great. Okay, let's zoom out now to the big picture, debt and investments.
Right. Overall, the city's current outstanding debt stands at $16.7 million.
And when is that projected to be paid off?
The current projection is payoff by 2034, but it's important to note that doesn't account for any new debt the city might decide to take on between now and then.
Fair point. And on the flip side, investments.
The city holds $10.7 million in various investments.
And what kind of return are those generating?
Currently earning interest rates between 4.0% and 4.5%, which is pretty good in the current environment.
And how much interest has that brought in so far this year?
Year to date. Across all the accounts, money markets, CDs, everything, the total interest earned is just over $352,000.
Nice chunk of change.
Definitely helps the bottom line. And just for context, what are the broader economic indicators looking like? The Fed rate, inflation.
Good question. As of mid-July 2025, the federal funds rate is sitting at 4.33%. The expectation is that the Fed will likely hold it steady at their upcoming July meeting.
And that rate affects things like credit cards, mortgages.
Exactly. It influences borrowing costs across the economy. Mm. And the other key indicator, inflation, is currently running at 2.37%.
Which is relatively low, stable.
Yeah, pretty moderate. Suggests a relatively stable economic backdrop for now.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. As we finish this deep dive, what are the main takeaways from this mid-year financial checkup?
Well, the big picture is that halfway through 2025, the city's finances seem largely on track. The general fund is managing its income and spending as expected.
And that unassigned fund balance, the savings account, is really strong, well above the city's own targets, providing a great safety net.
Definitely. We're also seeing those strategic investments happening through the CIP funds for infrastructure and future needs.
And the special funds are mostly doing okay, even if the EDA fund is just waiting on tax collections for its timing issue.
Right. The enterprise funds are a bit more mixed, but generally stable. Sewer is very strong. Storm sewer is steady.
And the water fund is navigating that planned shift, moving WAC fees to capital reserves, which makes long-term sense.
And even the liquor store, once you account for the transfers it makes back to the city, is generating a decent profit and has that history of strong performance.
So why should our listeners care about all these numbers and funds?
Because understanding this isn't just about spreadsheets, right? It's about grasping the actual services, the projects, the stability of your community.
It puts a real dollar figure, like that 75 cents a day, on what you receive. And it shows how tax dollars and other revenues are shaping your environment.
Exactly. It's about transparency and understanding how the decisions are made.
So looking at this mid-year snapshot, here's something to think about. What trends did you find most encouraging? Or maybe, what areas seem like they deserve a closer look as the year goes on?
Yeah. How does knowing this financial picture maybe influence your own thoughts about what the community's priorities should be? Where might you want to see more investment or perhaps different investment?
It's definitely food for thought. We really encourage you to keep exploring these insights. Maybe even look at future reports yourself. Staying informed and engaged with your local government is so important.